So the last bit here, this business of gifts and staka and donor intent, 3B, if you will. So go back to the cases above Mitziah and Chesamid Beis, in source Yud Beis. When the Gemara had resolved the problem of the Mishnah, right? Remember our problem with the Mishnah. The Mishnah first presented me with the rental of the donkey and said, you're responsible for everything, and then said, well, it depends on why the donkey died, right? So the Gemara asked, I don't understand. First you said you're responsible for everything, and then you say, well, it depends. So the answer was, the ratio of the Mishnah is Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir says, anytime you change from what the owner said, that makes you a Goslin. So the Gemara asked, how do you know that that's what Rabbi Meir says? And it goes through various cases to try to show this is Rabbi Meir's position. I brought you here in source Yud Beis the last two cases because those are the ones that are relevant for the discussion of gifts and tzedakah. Ella ha Rabbi Meir de Magbas Purim. Rabbi Meir, the basis for saying this is Rabbi Meir's view is from his law regarding Purim collections. We begin by saying that the collection for Purim has to be used for Purim. From a city has to be for that city. And I'm skipping the rest of the line. Rabbi Eliezer says, Magbas Purim Lepurim. And the Ein Haani Rashai Likach Mehen Ritzul Esandalo Elam Kein Hisna B'mamad Anshei Ha'ir Devar Rabbi Yaakov Shomer Mishur Rabbi Meir. That's the key line. The pauper is not allowed to change its use. He has to stick with the original intent. He can't buy a shoelace with it unless this was stipulated in the presence of the town council. That's Rabbi Meir's view, and Rabbi Shimon Gamliel is Mekil. To which the Gemara says, don't prove from there that Rabbi Meir always believes that. That may be unique because there people are giving it as Matanos Levionim. They're giving it for Purim specifically. That's not for other purposes. So we said, all right, fine. Here's Rabbi Meir's rule. Titania, Rishim ben Elazar, Omer, Bishur, Rabbi Meir, Hanosin, Diner, Lohani, Likach, Locholok, Likach, Batalas, Talas, Likach, Bocholok. He says, if you give money to a pauper for him to buy one type of clothing, he can't use it to buy another type of clothing. You give it for the other type, he can't buy the first type. Why? Because you are veering from, you're deviating from what the owner intended. To which the Gemara then asks, well, maybe that's not it. Maybe what's going on there is that the person who gave the tzedakah, owner of the money, told other people, you know that guy who sits on the corner? I gave him money to go buy a winter coat. And then when he shows up the next day and there's no winter coat, people are going to say that that guy's a liar. He said he gave him money for a winter coat. He didn't do any such thing. So you're worried about your reputation. To which the Gemara says, no, because that's not what it said. It didn't say that the reason why the ani isn't allowed to do this is because of what people are going to say about the person who gave him the money. It said the problem is, mavir al das balabayis. The problem is, you're not allowed to deviate from the intent of the giver of the funds, and that's how the Gemara says that that's Rabbi Meir's basis. That's Rabbi Meir's position, right? Meir believes you're not allowed to deviate because when it came to tzedakah, he said you're not allowed to deviate. That's the conclusion of the Gemara. Now, the conclusion of the Gemara seems to be based on the Purim case that everybody believes that you have to honor donor intent. It's only a question of how far you go. Because in the Purim case, we said it could be even the Chachamim would agree with Rabbi Meir because Purim is unique. When you give for Purim, you want it to be used for Purim. So he is Rabbi Meir says that's true for tzedakah in general, and the Chachamim say no. Only when it comes to Purim is there a unique kaveda. And in fact, I brought you in Yud Gimel the Mordechai. The Mordechai quotes Rabbeinu Simcha. Rabbeinu Simcha Chiyavo. Rabbeinu Simcha was dealing with a case, which I want to come back to, of a pauper who receives staka money, and he has creditors. And the creditors say, turn over the money to us. So Rabbeinu Simcha says that in fact you have to do that, as I added in bracket. It's a present. Since your assets are effectively your guarantors, now you have assets, you have to use it to pay your debt. Unless the donor says explicitly, I'm giving it to you not to be used for debt. So that it shows this idea that where there is, in fact, a kapeda, where there is an insistence by the donor that it should only be used this way, even the Chachamim are going to paskin that you have to honor what the donor stated. For Sammy, you seem very.
This has to be an explicit. Okay, I'll give you an example.
So I'm going. That's my next. That's my next line.
I'll give you a very.
That's my next line. Wait till the next line, and then and you may have your answer.
So, all right, but the horror is that I'm not sure. The Gemara, what the Gemara is really doing there is saying you can't prove the mayor necessarily generally holds that Hamavra Daito Shvav Vais and the Kragaz from that case. I don't know that necessarily means that people who argue for mayor would agree to him and make a support him. And the case in point is that it seems that there is an argument there, right? It seems like some say that you're making me make them.
I'm not the only one to say this. It's not my chiddush. I understand what you're saying, and in fact, the way I phrased it when I first said it, I could see why you would read it that way. That maybe Rabbi Meir's position is unique there because it's perm. Not necessarily the Chachamim would agree, but I'm not the only one to say it, and it appears in Psak. I hear your point. Yes, Jerry.
Can I derive the Rabbanan here because Purim is the Rabbanan. And helping the poor guy who doesn't have shoes is maybe a deraisa.
And therefore?
So when I give it to you for Purim, which is one of my, I for sure would give it to you.
I mean, that's a mind reading game.
Is it?
Lavdavka.
Isn't a deraisa trumping?
No, because my obligation is to fulfill Matanos Levionim, and I could argue it's a mitzvah overes. My tzedakah is a much more vague obligation. Is it to this ani? Is it to another ani? Is it, you know, what exactly is my duty to this fellow? Is an open question. It's not really our topic for right now. But I don't think you can make that cheshbon, and certainly ani can't make that cheshbon on my behalf. In terms of the question that Jeffrey led into, the question is how do you establish a kapeda? There's a very interesting line of Chavos Yor, Rav Yor Bachrach, in source Yud. He distinguishes between where the beneficiary says what he wants to use it for and where the benefactor specifies what he wants the beneficiary to use it for. He says, etc. When we said in the Gemara, right, Rabbi Meir's case, you give it to him to buy a certain type of clothing, it's not talking about where the donor said it. He says, that is a kapeda. That, if he says, go buy this, that's a kapeda. Rasha ani mevakish siyu alatalis. What's going on there is that the pauper says, can you help me out? I want to go buy this item of clothing. And then he says, you know what, I'd actually like to buy a different garment. And the same thing is true on the donkey rental case. It's not that the U-Haul company says, here are U-Hauls for you to drive on city streets. Right? Here's a donkey for you to rent to go on a mountain or whatever it is. It's that the person who comes into the store says, I want to use it for X. The same deal by the guy who receives the field to plant with certain types of produce. The one who is renting out the field says, I want to do this with it. That's the idea. So Chavos Yor says, where the beneficiary is the one who says it, then we don't consider that a kapeda. There you don't say, the owner meant only for this use. Whereas if the owner says, here it is, use it for this, then in fact it is a kapeda, and you will be obligated to follow that stipulation.
Very practical example. This applies to shuls, duck organizations. You got your mouse chitim and your matanos avionim thing running up the front.
Yes.
And I say, okay, I press the button and matanos avionim, and I donate $50. Can they now use it for mouse chitim?
No.
Okay, so that's this case.
I think, right, no, I think you cannot, because you are the provider of the funds and you made a choice. I think they would not be allowed to do so. So other passages of Gemara support the idea that the donor intent matters, such that in the event that you said, I want it to be used for X, and you'll see, not just tzedakah, but in general, a gift, I want it to be used for X, and if it won't be used for X, then don't follow through with the gift. It should not be delivered. Now, none of the following cases, I'm going to give you three cases, none of them deals with a case where the gift has already been given to the recipient. I'm going to come back to that case. I'm talking about where it is en route. So the first one is a mitzvah payment, Bava Kama, source Tezvav. Mishnah talks about Gezel Hager. Right? In the event that somebody steals from someone who converted to Judaism and that person did not have any Jewish family, so therefore you want to give back the money, but you don't have any halachic relatives to pay to. So the rule is that in the event that he acknowledged it, he swore to him and so forth, the whole bit of Gezel Ager, I'm not going into the whole parsha, so what's supposed to happen is he is supposed to pay the money to the Kohanim, and he's supposed to bring a carbon asham. Right? In the case of Gezel Ager, where the Ger died, so you can't pay him back, so it's payment to the Kohanim and a Karban Asham. That's what's supposed to happen. Mishnah says, it's in brackets in Tezvav, what if he gave the money to the Kohanim, and then he, the thief, died? So what do you do now as far as the Karban? The Karban can't be brought. So it says, his heirs are not able to get the money back from the Kohanim. The money is given to the Kohanim gets to go have lunch. That's just the way it goes. Why? Because the Pasuk says, Vishayitena Kohen, lo yiyeh. You give it to the Kohen, it belongs to the Kohen. Then, Amar Abaye, Shmami na kesef mechaper mechza. Abaye says, that means that the giving of the money, presenting that money, actually did provide some level of kapara. It wasn't all waiting for the karban. Dilo mechaper, because if it did nothing, havamina mahadol yorshin, I would have said, give the money back. Why time? Why? I died to the hachila yoyevlay, because that wasn't what he had in mind when he gave the money. He didn't get what he wanted, and therefore it should be reversed. If you don't have donor intent, if you don't fulfill donor intent, the money reverts to the original person. Actually, that is a case where it's gone to the recipient already. That actually is a case where it's gone to the recipient. I haven't thought about that, but it's true. Lest you ask the question of, wow, if donor intent is so powerful, what about when you're dealing with kinyanim, like sales, right? The classic case that Tosfos asks about, I bought a cow, and then the cow died. I can say, well, I didn't buy it thinking the cow was going to die. I thought I was going to get 5 years out of this cow. So maybe I should also be able to reverse it. So Tosfos gives two different answers, which I brought you in Tez Zayin. Yud Zayin, Tosfos in Bava Kamma gives the answer of when there's a sale, it isn't just about what you think, it's also about what the other party thinks. And the other party was not thinking that this was contingent on you getting use out of it. That's Tosfos in Bava Kamma. Tosfos in Ksubas gives a different answer, and he says that's not the way people engage in commerce. People accept a certain level of risk. It's not that you go into it thinking that it's going to be reversed if you don't. You're not expecting a money back guarantee for 10 years of use out of this cow. That's not the way life works. But going into our gift cases, that's case number one, where it is a donation for tzedakah. Case number two is Gemara in Ksuvos, and it is a gift with anticipated return on that gift. It's talking about a ksuba in source Yudches. We know that man is going to marry a woman. He provides her with a ksuba. There is a minimum amount of the ksuba, and then there is Tosefes ksuba, the additional amount that he promises. And in this Mishnah in Ksuvos, which is found on Nandalad Amid Beis, we see it in source Yudches, in the event that the man writes a ksuba for his wife, and the ksuba includes Tosefes, and then the marriage ends after the kiddushin, before the nisuin, he has to follow through on the core ksuba amount, but not the Tosefes, not the added amount. Why? Because he only wrote it for her, planning to marry her. That was it. It was conditional. I'm only giving this in the event that I actually marry her, and if I'm not getting to marry her, the gift is off. That's not a pure gift. It's a gift with an anticipated return, being able to marry her. For a pure gift, take a look at Nazir in source Yudtes. Nazir Chavdalid Amud Aleph. A man's wife takes a vow that she is going to be a Nazir, and she separates her karbanos for it, and then the husband does hafara. He nullifies the vow. The vow never existed. So if the animal was his, so it's not a karban. Teisei v'tira be'eder, the Mishnah says. V'im shalai sa'be'ema, and if it was her animal, then it depends. Was it the chatas? Was it the ola? Was it the shlamim? It's disposed of in different ways. So the Gemara says, mantana de'ba'al lo mishtabela. Whose view is it that says that that if it was the husband's animal, that doesn't become a karban? It just gets to go graze. So Chizkiah says it's the view of the Rabbanan. It can't be the view of Rabbi Yehuda. What do you mean? Because I have a braisa. Rabbi Yehuda omer, adam may be karban ashir al ishto. And Bryce says, Rabbi Yehuda says that a man brings a carbon on behalf of his wife, and any carbon she is obligated in, because after all, that's what you said in the Ksuba. It's not really in our Ksuba, but any obligations that were on you from beforehand, I am going to accept. So Rabbi Yehuda's position is, men have to give carbonos on behalf of their wives, and therefore our Mishnah, which says that if it's his animal, it loses its kedusha. That's not Rabbi Yehuda. That's not consistent with Rabbi Yehuda. Rava says it's not true. Rava Amar Afilu Tam Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda is consistent with this. The only thing that he's bound to provide is that which is a necessity for her. This isn't a necessity for her because he got rid of her Naziris. She's no longer a Nazira. Therefore, he has no obligation because it's only for her Tzorech. And therefore, this gift that he gave, the dedication of the carbon, is a non-gift. That's the position in this Gemara in Nazir. So in all of these cases, you see that when donor intent is not going to be honored, right? In all three of these cases, the gift is off. Poskei Ashkenaz accept this principle. So the Mordechai in Ksuvos in Kufay in Vav brings this from the Rav Yah. The case here is a case that comes up a lot in the literature, where there were promises of money for a woman to be able to get married for her nedunya. And then either she died, or for whatever reason the decision was made she's not getting married. And then the question is, you have to follow through with that gift. So in Chaf, Ubesefer Rav Yah, Ma'isebecha Shnader Mazal Hasi Yisoma Achas Larviach Bohem Veniftora Yisoma. The deal was that he vowed for a certain amount of money for Yisoma to be able to get married. Larviach Bohem does not mean to make a profit; it just means that she should have more money to be able to get married with. And Niftora Yisoma, and then the Yisoma died. V'tavu Yorsheha. So she has heirs who say, ha, it was really kind of you to donate this money for our relative. Pay up. Upatra Rav Chaim HaKohen. So Rav Chaim Kohen says, no, you do not have any obligation to give that money. Why? Because Ksuvos Nundalid, right? The case of the Ksuba. Lo kasav la ela manas lekonsa. So to here, you only gave the money. We were the intent. You only stated you would give the money in order for her to be able to get married. However, the Rav Yah disagrees. But the Rav Yah's disagreement is not a true disagreement. Hil Rav Yah nira, Zachua Yorshim Mikoach HaMesis, and the heirs do get it. Ulai Debrek Afalpi Lo Dami Shalav Kol HaUmdenos Shavin. He says, you know why this isn't the same as Ksuvos? Because the Umdena is different. In other words, I know for sure that in a case of marriage, he's only promising the Tosefis in order to be able to marry her. That's a really strong estimation of his mindset. Whereas, in the case that you're talking about, I have no reason to think that he really wouldn't have intended for her heirs to get the money, even if she's not getting married, or for her, really, as the Yisoma to receive the money. He's not arguing with the concept. He's arguing with the application. The Ben Yedid, on Hilchos Matnos Aniyim, in Source Chafal, I brought you his name, Rabbi Yedid Shmuel Tarika, because I would not have known him at all. I just found him on the Bar Ilan. But he quotes you this Mordechai who quoted the Rav Yah, Rav Chaim Kohen and the Rav Yah, and then he quotes you a Shulte Gibarim who quotes the Rimi Vienna to follow Rabbeinu Chaim, to say you don't follow through on the gift. If you take a look at Chaf Aleph, Ubishulte Gibarim Shamkata B'Shem Benu Yitzchak Mi Vienna, the Halacha Rabbeinu Chaim, the Ein Liorshim Klum, the Den Daita Gadol Hu Shazelo Hivish Ma'osav Alatzrach Mitzvah. Of course, he only intended it to be for the sake of her ability to get married. Lo dvar rishus, elu dvar bekitzer. The kavanas of vaday shelo nader ze ala kedei lahasiya lahasiya som biyisoma mitzvahi lo she yochlu hey mamos lechol tzarcheyam. He didn't intend for them to use the money for anything. Umina, and then based on this, he says, I'll tell you the following halacha: shim nader lases matana laani v'lo hispik lidna loa chehe shirani. That if somebody vowed to give a gift to a pauper and then he did not succeed in giving it before the pauper became wealthy, he hit the lottery. The achshav like a mitzvah. You don't have a mitzvah to follow through on that donation. Your intent was clearly a tzedakah intent. That was all that you intended.
Okay, so the rabbi is a bit of a stretch.
The Rav Yah.
Rav Yah.
It seems harder to sustain that. It does seem harder to sustain that. But he's still the Rav Yah.
You're giving money to an orphan. You don't want her rich uncle to get it. Or brother or whatever.
So the question really isn't about the uncle. The question is about her. Would you want her to get it if she's not getting married? Because if you wanted her to get it without getting married, then the fact that it goes to the uncle is just a product of it having gone to her. It's really not about the uncle. That's the way I would look at it. The Magos Mamonios also takes this view based on our Gemara about Gezel Hager. The Rambam in Source Chav Beis says, Nasan Agazlan as a Kesab Anshe Mishmar. By the way, you're not starting today. I apologize. It's not my fault. Not my fault. It was a subletting thing. That's the Gezel Hager halacha, right? That if he gave the money, he doesn't get the money back. So the Hakadosh Hamanios writes on that in Source Chav Gimel. He quotes you Abaye in the Gemara who said, if you didn't give it intending for there to be no kapara, it only worked because there is kapara. And then he says, Mikan nira da adam shnasal acherim siyu al manas lahasi as veto. If a man was given support to be able to marry off his daughter, and then nimna v'lovi siya, and then he didn't marry her off, shechayiv lahachzir amos linos no, shlo nasno elo da as lahasiya. So give the money back. He didn't intend that. Only for marriage. Matsasi binimuke haribi korbil. Korbil. What happened to that? I didn't bring the rest of it. That's really funny. It jumps. Okay. I don't know what I did there. But what he says from the Rimi Korbil is based on that Gemara Baba Kama that if you give it to the father for the dowry, I don't know what I did. Don't worry about it. And she doesn't actually get married. Indeed, the money goes back to him. That's the way it works. The Trumas Hadeshin Paskin's the same way in Source Chav Dalid. Except it's a very interesting case. He says he's dealing with a case in which a man promised money to his granddaughter, and he said to her, "It's going to be for you to buy a belt." That was the case.
Something very popular today.
Yeah, belts were wildly popular. This is totally a belt cheer. I don't know what that's about. Between what we said before and in the first half and now. But look at what happens. He says, but he says, in this case, he says, you don't really have an umdina that he wouldn't have wanted his granddaughter to get it if not for use for the belt. Ki hasam deiko umdina gedola, as opposed to the cases that we've been talking about where there is a greater umdina like the dowry case. He says, why? Because the umdina there is shlo kivin lasa zebamos halal v'lachatze shamayim blo ditna b'matanel inshi me'alma. There your intention was it should be used for a dowry. As opposed to here, where we have a principle in the Gemara, daitel shadam krove etzla b'no, you feel close to your children. If I didn't have a Gemara b'fa basra, I wouldn't know that. And he says, presumably the same thing is true regarding bas b'no, regarding your granddaughter. And therefore, what you really intended to do was give her a gift, and it was only chiba yisera that this guy on his deathbed should be thinking about her having a nice, ornament or whatever it is, that's something she'll carry with her the rest of her life, which unfortunately in this story wasn't that long. But it was supposed to be like this nice expression, and he only mentioned the belt as chiba. But it wasn't really inherent in his gift. Now, Rekiva Eger brings this in Choshen Mishpat, Reishon and Gimel. This shows up in Shulchan Aruch as being the position of the Rush as well. The Rush talks about it. If you take a look at Chav Hey, I just brought you the Shulchan Aruch. A woman was taken captive, and her mother raised funds for her redemption. And then she heard that her daughter, who she had raised money for, had converted out. So the question is, what do you do with the money? So the question is, it's not going to be used for pidyon shvuyim. She isn't interested in your pidyon. So what do you do with the money? So the answer is, you try to give it back to all of the donors. If you can, then put it in a fund for future redemption of captives. But the money goes back to the donors. Why? Because donor intent matters. And so in the early Achronim, the Chochma Shlomo brings this, I gave you the reference in Source Chavav, both to his comment on Chosh Mishma Rishon and Gimel, as well as in the Yamshel Shlomo, also the Maribam, Mar Ibn Leiv, says it as well. The idea here seems to be... Is it not? Maybe it's not.
I thought it was Shlomo Kluger, but I could be wrong.
Oh, no, you're right. It is Shlomo Kluger. You're 100% right. It is Shlomo Kluger. Happens to be that he takes the same position, though.
Okay.
But you know, you are 100% right. It's Shlomo Kluger. Thank you. But in all of this, we're taking the intent as an almanas, right? It's a full condition. If you don't do this, then everything is reversed. What about Poskei Sfarad? So they seem to disagree. I brought you the Ritva, which I don't think is so clear, but the Rashba is much more clear in Soros Chavches. The Rashba says... It's talk about a case also of a dowry, and he says Misvara Shafilo Amar Tnu Mana Laploni Nilisueha. If a man says, "Give money to so and so for her to get married," it should be plonis presumably. Nosdim La Miyad, we give it right away. Sharelo Kavas Manla Nesinasan, because he didn't set a particular time for it, and he continues to say that if she dies, it's going to go to the Arshim. It's going to go to her heirs, even though it wasn't used for the dowry. That's really, really interesting. And in fact, the Shulchan Aruch, in Choshen Mishpat Reishon and Gimel, the Mechaber's position, look at Chavtes, where I underlined. HaOmer, Tanu, Kuf Kuf is just 200. Zel in Adunya Sa, Chayavim Laseis Lamei Achshav, you have to give it now. V'yokra V'zula Di Dahavi, if it goes up, goes down, whatever, that's hers. V'mesa Kodem Shatina Zei, Zachu Bahem Yosheha. Her heirs get it. Before you get the Ramah, saying V'yesh Chokin and following the Poskei Ashkenaz. So do the Poskei Sfarad disagree and say that the gift must go through? Is that really their position? The Chasam Sofer says no. Chasam Sofer is in Lamed, and he breaks it down into three cases. He says the Rashba's case, and this is why I made a big deal before about whether the money's been delivered or not, because for this Chasam Sofer. He says the Rashba's case, where the gift goes through, is talking about where the money was given before she died or before the determination there will be no marriage. I mean, the money was given now. That's the way it works. Once you give the money to an ani, you fulfilled your mitzvah. And therefore, it doesn't matter where it's going to go, what it's going to be used for. You got your mitzvah. You fulfilled your mitzvah by giving it. If I see somebody who says, "I need food," and I give him money, and then he spends it at the track, I still fulfilled my mitzvah of tzedakah. And therefore, even if it isn't going to be used the way I wanted, my gift is done. I can't reverse it anymore. He says, no reason to reverse it. The donor received what he wanted. He got a mitzvah. That's the way the Chasam Sofer looks at it. Whereas, the case of Ashkenaz, Agos Mamanios, and so on, the money hasn't actually reached her. The money went to the father on behalf of the girl who wanted to get married. The mother, for the sake of the Pidyon Shvuyim. So no mitzvah has been fulfilled yet. And once it becomes clear that no mitzvah is going to be fulfilled, the money goes back to the donor. And as far as the Mordechai's machlokes Rishonim, Ravya and Rav Chaim Kohen, he says that's where a neder was made for a tzedakah gift. So Rabbeinu Chaim says, don't give it, because the mitzvah is not going to be fulfilled. Whereas the Rabbiya says, no, amirasa legavoa kimsirasa lehedyot. Once you state you're going to give it, it's like you already gave it, and therefore your mitzvah is already fulfilled, and therefore you have no taina when it isn't used the way you wanted it to be used. He takes it completely out of the realm of what the donor personally feels, and it's all about the mitzvah. If you got your mitzvah, you have no complaints. That's the Chasam Sofer's view. We're running out of time, so I want to just say a couple of things quickly. Three applications of the Chasam Sofer's idea. Number one, what if it's not a mitzvah? What if it's just a general gift? It's a non-tzedakah gift. There's no redeeming value of saying, well, I fulfilled a mitzvah by doing so. The handover doesn't change anything meaningful. Therefore, the gift, in fact, I think goes back to the donor. As in fact, in Choshen Mishpat, I brought you in Source Lamed Aleph, the case there where we say that you give the money back to the giver of the gift. There's no mitzvah. He didn't get what he wanted. Therefore, it indeed reverses. The Chavon Nachalaso brings this in a tshuva that I mentioned, I think, last time. He talks about the case of a company that publishes manuscripts, and they receive a gift to be used for publishing manuscripts. They don't have the right to use it for something else. There's no mitzvah issue here anymore. It's just a straight gift, and therefore you just go based on donor intent. That's number one. Number two, I think the Chasam Sofer can be used to resolve a problem in the Shulchan Aruch. The Shulchan Aruch writes in Reish Pei Gimel, I thought I brought it here on the sheet. I brought it back in Chaf Hei, the case of Pidyon Shavuyim, right, where she converted out. The Mechaber there is the writer, and yet he seems to follow Poskei Ashkenaz, saying that you return the Tzedakah. I don't understand why he's saying, like Poskei Ashkenaz, to return the tzedakah. But the answer is, because it's where the mother collected it. And therefore, the Chasam Sofer says, there's no machlokes. Everybody's going to agree. It didn't get to the intended recipient. Also, last point, according to the Chavos Yair, this explanation by the Chasam Sofer is actually the machlokes Tanoim. He says it in Lamed Gimel. Meaning, Rabbi Meir says you're not allowed to deviate because Rabbi Meir thinks that the donor wants the Ani to use the money for that particular purpose. Whereas Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says, no, you're just happy you did your mitzvah. That's all. You wanted a mitzvah, you got your mitzvah. So therefore, there's no reason to not to follow through. That's what Chavos Yair's position. He says you can read that as the machlokes Tanoim. Last note. If tzedakah money has already been received by an ani, so the donor indeed got what he wanted, right? We don't follow Rabbi Meir regarding Mavir al-Das Balabayis. So is the pauper in fact allowed to do whatever he wants with the money? Is he in fact allowed to do whatever he wants? You got your mitzvah, it's not your business what I do with the money you gave me. So that's an interesting question. So... and again, I'm assuming no stipulated kapeda like we talked about before, where I thought even the Chachamim will agree with Rabbi Meir, where there's nothing that's been stated, but it was given to you for a mitzvah, so are you allowed to do something different with it? So there's Tosefta and Peah, which says, Meiser Ani may not be used to pay a debt. So the Rav Yah, quoted in the Orzerua and quoted in the Mordechai, which I brought you here on the sheet, I brought you the Mordechai in Lamed Hey, the position of the Rav Yah is that the pauper is not obligated to pay debts when he received tzedakah. Tzedakah was meant for his family. Don't use it for debts. That's the position of the Rav Yah, and that's the position of the Maharam Rutenberg, which I brought you here in Lamed Vav. They don't use it for debts. It was given to you for your personal use. That's what you use it for. Rabbeinu Simcha, brought in the Mordechai and brought in the Maharam Rutenberg, says no. He says you have to pay. We don't follow Rabbi Meir. Mavra Badas Balabais is not called a Gazlan. And if you look at the Tosefta that says Meister Sheni ain't government milva v'chov, that you don't use Meister Ani, I should say. Excuse me, it should say Meister Ani. I quoted the wrong part, but that you don't use it for paying debts. He says that's talking about if the owner of the grain says I'm going to use it directly to pay off the pauper's debts. It's not talking about when you give it to the pauper and the pauper uses it for his debt. The pauper is allowed to use it to pay off his debts. The Shulchan Aruch sides with guys. The Shulchan Aruch's position is to side with the Rav Yah, not to use it to pay off debts. However, the Ramah says, this is in Lamed Zayin, if the donor knew that the pauper had debts, then the creditor is allowed to take it, because then he knew that this was indeed a possibility. So it's really all about donor intent, fundamentally. How far do you go in mind-reading the donor? I also brought you two interesting cases in Lamed Ches and Lamed Tes. I'll just mention what they are, and then you can look at them later. One is the Rishon Bachlan Shuvas von Hagos talks about a tzedakah collector who takes unusually high commissions. He says, hey, you have to pay your mashulach, but not so much. And he has some very interesting language there in Lamed Ches. And then Moshe Feinstein deals with a case in which somebody has given somebody else, happens to be father-in-law, son-in-law, he has given him money so that he can sit and learn. The recipient of the money wants to give tzedakah off of those funds, but the father-in-law says, no, because then I'm going to have to give you more money for you to be able to survive. I don't want you to do that. And Rav Moshe says, indeed, you're not allowed to give from the keren. You're not allowed to give from that core amount that was given to you for your support. There's much more to say, but hopefully this gave us something. I apologize for being a little prolix with it, but hopefully we got something out of it. And Shkayach, next week, back to Rabbi Berman.